Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to another of our occasional emergency questions compilations. It's the kind of thing I think could do very well on Channel 5. You know, we could just cut between people answering the questions. Just to, if you're listening, Ian, Channel 5, you know, get in touch. Any of the channels, but it's probably not good enough to go on one of the proper ones. Each time we do this, we take one of the emergency questions and we get some of the funny answers that we've had to that question from our many, many celebrity guests. There's some brilliant ones coming up in this episode, I expect, because I don't know what the question is yet, do I? Because I have to spin the roulette wheel of choice to make it happen. And here we go now. Let's see what the question is. Oh, well, this is a disappointing one that surely will have no decent answers to it. Let's see. One of the first times I asked this question to the wonderful Dave Gorman.
And let's put in one question just to save some time, because I don't want to waste a lot of time on stupid questions. Have you or any of your siblings ever seen a Bigfoot? I love this question. It makes me laugh. I'm trying to do it seriously every time. It always makes me laugh.
Can I clarify whether you mean a Sasquatch?
I'm glad you asked
me. Or just an unusually big foot? Because we've been to the circus and we've seen those shoes on the clowns.
No, I do. I thought you were going to go for an even more pedantic question. I do mean a Sasquatch, yeah. But I would not accept a Yeti.
Okay.
If someone said I was in the Himalayas and I saw a Bigfoot, I would say, no, my friend, you did not.
Then no, I've seen a Yeti, not a Bigfoot.
I'm not interested. Yeah, I don't want to hear any more about it.
No,
I'm only used.
It's not worth talking about, to be honest. Yeti, that's all.
So far, no one's seen a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Or David Mitchell siblings. I've only started asking the sibling question since last week. Well, I might have to get the others on to ask about their siblings because I didn't. But I reckon if one of their siblings had seen a Bigfoot, they'd go, "I haven't, but my sister did."
You see, but this is working on the assumption that my brothers would tell me if they'd seen a Bigfoot.
I think they would.
We don't really have that many conversations, and most of it is filtered through my mum.
But with your twin, you have a twin brother.
I do.
I assumed you'd made up for that show, but yeah, it seems to have gone on long enough that I don't think you could have kept him on the payroll.
No, my
because I'd never heard of him. Then suddenly, oh yeah, I've got a twin brother. I've never, yeah, he's just come out of nowhere.
Does everyone always gone about their twin?
Yeah, they do.
Do other adults constantly when you meet them say, "Oh, and by the way, I've got a twin."
I might have a twin. He's in Richmond, and I don't even know. Yeah. I haven't even been told about him. He's going around pretending to be me.
My twin doesn't look like me. He doesn't even... You know the twins had in Coronation Street, the McDonald boys?
Yes,
the one's blonde and thin of face, and one was square-faced and
is one of them your
hair.
Twin brothers?
No, like, we look less like each other than they did. And, like, when people meet the two of us, they don't even believe that we're brothers, let alone twin. And I did a TV show, and he was in it as my twin. And loads of people went, "That's not your twin." "You're making him up." You think, if I was going to make him up, I'd hire someone who fucking looked like me, wouldn't I? As there seems to be hundreds of them around, I'm constantly, there's one of them went to the darkness the other day. I'll get him a job. But no, my twin looks nothing like me.
But even so,
yeah,
you are cyclically linked. So if he saw a Bigfoot, you would also see it, even if you weren't there.
I'm not convinced those things are true. Although, there was a thing when we were younger where if he was ever in, like, pain, I'd have this real sense of pleasure deep in my guts. And it wouldn't be explained until later and I saw the bruises. And I think that went both ways. More the other way.
So, yeah, one of you's evil and one of you's good.
That's how twins have to be, obviously. That's how it works. Yeah.
I was wrong to doubt the question. It's a brilliant question that leads you to all sorts of places. Dave Gorman there admitting that he only speaks to his siblings via his mother. You know, which is an incredible... That should have made the papers. I don't know how that didn't get in. But also loads of other brilliant stuff. That's why I'm such a good interviewer, I think. Because I ask the questions no one else dares to ask. And even when you think it's not going to go anywhere, it goes somewhere. Let's see if we agree with that hypothesis by the time we get to the end of this podcast. Next up is the wonderful Sarah Millican, who I am currently beating about 6-0 in the competition of Rahulastapur War.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
Like, on a man?
No, like a...
No, like a Bigfoot.
Like a
Bigfoot. Like a weirdly Bigfoot, and
no,
the other one's just sort of
no,
like seven
like a Sasquatch.
I've never seen this, but I like saying the word. Don't you like saying Sasquatch?
Yeah, I do. You might have seen one when you were in Canada looking for your great-great-granddad.
I didn't even say a moose. I was promised a moose. Which sounds like I'm just saying Geordie for mouse. I was promised a moose. We went in a helicopter at one point, and they said where we have to get to is like a 45-minute helicopter ride. Okay, so got in the helicopter, and I looked at it, and it was beautiful scenery of snow and of trees. It was beautiful, but it was very samey. And after 6 or 7 minutes, I fell asleep. And they were trying to film me, being like, "Oh, wow!" And I was like, "You're going to have to do it on the way back," because I was like that. Because I'd scanned looking for a moose, and there wasn't one, so I just fell asleep. So it was just, you know, it's the hum of the wah, 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 wah,
yeah. Well,
and I was all warm and you know, in me pants, me lycra pants.
I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter.
Have you not?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you should definitely do it.
Well, I'm not successful like you. You get to probably
I didn't
travel
own
everywhere.
The helicopter, Richard.
Fly around everywhere
I haven't bought a helicopter. Have you not ever been in one?
I don't think I've ever been in a helicopter. That's a terrible thing.
Give us a cheer if you've been in a helicopter.
Like normal
I just wanted to prove that you don't have to own one to be allowed in one.
I've got a very rich audience of business people in there.
The helipad upstairs is chock-a-block tonight.
Two for fucking two. What a brilliant conversation came out of that. See, I don't just throw this together. I think about it very carefully. It's not like I just think, oh, I'll just ask a stupid question that no one ever's going to say no to. Then we got into helicopters and found out how many members of my audience have been in helicopters. I still haven't been in one. Next up, this was the last interview I did with two testicles. This was the day before my operation to remove a testicle. I am so dedicated to podcasting, and also I wanted something to distract me, that I still podcasted the day before my operation. This was in during lockdown, obviously, so we were doing remote ones, but they were going out live. And this is the amazing Mary Lynn Rice Cub, who, you know, I talked to about my testicle more than I should have, but I also asked her if she'd ever seen a Bigfoot. Let's find out what she said. You're in America. I should ask all my American guests whether they've seen a Bigfoot. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No. But I did just the other day walk into a, I don't know what they're called, a den, a pack of coyotes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you came out unscathed?
I'd like to tell you about it if you're interested.
I am very interested.
So I did a COVID move. You know, I have the failed marriage. Work was slowing down. I sold my house. I moved out of state, which really is just way outside of Los Angeles, near some nature, some desert nature. Lifted myself up. This is great. I made the right decision. I take this beautiful little hike. Super nature-y, but still really close. It's not, you know, remote, but you make a little turn off of the main path. It's about a mile. I have gone with my neighbor who we've seen one coyote before, and I've seen two on the mountain really far away. And my neighbor brings a whistle, mace. He's got an air gun, which he's never really used, and a flashlight. I'm going out there, sans any of that. And I'm by myself. I'm not with my neighbor. My dog, I got him off leash. He's a golden retriever mix because he's got to feel himself. You know, he chases a rabbit, comes back. He's responsive. I know he's going to come back. Goes out, doesn't come back. I look up. I see one coyote. I'm screaming for my dog. Leo, 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 come back. Doesn't come back. As soon as I see that coyote, I just take off and start screaming and running towards it because now they're just going to lure him in and he's going to keep going. I can't see him. I'm like, Leo! I run in there. I get to a ravine. I stop to catch my breath. Nothing. Dead silent. No dog. No. I'm like, this is not good. There's like a standoff going. Finally, he pops back up, my dog. I see the one coyote. He jumps out, but like in a movie, I can see him, but I haven't leashed him yet. Leo, come here. I turn to my left, four coyote heads staring.
Blind.
I mean, this is bigger than Bigfoot, right? I get the dog. I do get him on leash, and I'm lost my mind. I'm just like, get out of here. Like, I have no mace. I'm just like yelling and flailing, turn around. And I've run so fast so far that I'm like, fuck, I got to find the path. Go back towards, I'm like, all right, you got your dog. You just go towards a path. Get to the path. There's another one, not popping out of the brush, but like standing on the road. And again, I just, get out of here, like yell. And they get scared, but then they come back. You know, like they're not that scared. And then I walk out. This is the creepiest part. This is like a baby ghost crying in the night. I walk out. They start talking to each other. They're like,
oh, yip, no.
Yip, yip, yip. Like, they're like, shit's going down. They're talking about me and my dog. You know, I'm like,
yeah.
I FaceTimed my mom. This is what I did. I said, Mom, can you hear that? I beat off a den of coyotes. So that's my,
Wow. You got away and you survived.
And then my dog afterwards, like, he's agitated, but by the time we get to the end, it's like he forgot about it. Like, can you just be there with me? Can you share my reality and understand what we've been through together? He doesn't even acknowledge. Can you believe?
I can't believe your dog. I just can't. I can't believe the way the dog has behaved in that story.
Just another disappointing relationship, my dog, acting like it didn't happen.
You know, when Ben Evans told me that this week's, I mean, the roulette wheel told me that this week's question was going to be, have you ever seen a Bigfoot? I thought that's going to be a terrible episode. But three fantastic answers. I mean, there's loads more to come, and I can't believe they're all as good as this. I'm hoping a lot of them are just going to be no, 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 no. Let's see what Ben Evans has done. He's a genius in putting together these things. I just sit here and I'm a little, you know, meat puppet saying the words. Next up, and Marilyn was really lovely. She sent me a bunch of flowers after the operation. And I've never met her. She seems very, very lovely. And I think we connected on a friendly level. And just because I was so honest about my upcoming operation. The next week I talked to Jeremy Paxman, a week after the operation. That's how dedicated I am to you utter fucking pricks. Let's hear what Dara O'Brien... Let's find out if he's seen a Bigfoot. I wonder if he has.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
I mean, if you had...
Oh, you think there's an anecdote that'll bring this baby home? You think that I've got you 20 years of a comedy career and never known the right time to tell the Bigfoot story? That I've been sitting talking to agents for years. Now, surely this is the show. And they go, no, we're just waiting for exactly the right moment to unleash this story, right? You've got to have the right, maybe wait till you've done a couple of years of science broadcasting. Then suddenly, on Stargazing, stop the show and go, Brian Cox, that's all very interesting. But I want to talk tonight about the Bigfoot, right? Many of you science people will be very sceptical. I myself would have been very sceptical of it. But then there was that day I went walking in the Appalachian Mountains and something appeared and it was not a bear. Don't tell me this was a bear on its 2 feet laughing at me. I don't think so. You think I'm sitting on a piece of gold like that for just such an occasion such as this?
It'd be good if you were.
It'd be handy, wouldn't it? Finally, if I could produce now grainy video evidence that I, for years, have not had the confidence to present to people. But finally now, among friends, I feel this is... I finally feel that I have the trust earned at this point in my career. How fabulous, how fucking David Icke-like would my descent be if this point of my career I suddenly started going, no, Jonathan Ross, I don't want to talk about my upcoming projects. Look again at the footage, right? And explain to me how that gait is the gait of an average Ursa Majoris Barnes, the brown bear, which is not even endemic to the region we're talking about, Jonathan. No, John, I will not move down the couch for Simon Cowell. This is important. We have been fed lies, sheeple. We have been fed lies about this. Take the wool from your eyes. They walk among us like BFGs. They are here at night. I am completely serious about this. Don't go to a commercial break.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
We are back with more celebrities revealing if they've ever seen a Bigfoot. And the next one seems a likely contender. It's Canadian madman who has possibly taken a drug in his life and therefore may have hallucinated or been had access to a spiritual realm. The wonderful, bizarre, uncontrollable, brilliant Tony Law.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot? When you were in Canada, maybe.
Yeah.
I've seen.
I've seen what people think is a Bigfoot, okay. Which is a black bear, far away.
Okay.
That's what. And they get up on their hind feet to grab some stuff out of the trees sometimes, because they're great at. They love standing up and looking, especially grizzlies. But black bears, you see them all the time. I have fond memories of driving into Banff National Park, and in the spring, there'd be a queue of people getting in. They'd be coming down the hills, and, you know, out of hibernation, super hungry, and they knew dumb tourists who were just handing them stuff, and they'd love the heat of the engine of your car, and they'd just lie on some people's car. They couldn't move because of the bear. And then you'd see some of the worst parenting ever, where someone would put like honey on their child's hand while the bear's licking it, because they're not super huge, so they look like a massive dog, and they're like, taking a picture. And I remember being with my buddies in we were like 16, all they go, oh man, how's this gonna pan out? That bear's gonna eat his hand, man. Don't honk the horn! And there's a long conversation about the ethics of, like, should we honk? If we don't honk the horn and he bites him, then we are partly responsible for that child losing his arm. But what if we honk the horn and that, instigates the bite? Let's just let it unfold. What's the Star Trek, or the directive from Star Trek? Just let it happen. Anyway, so that's been a fun memory.
That's good.
That makes up for the silenced bit.
My expectations were subverted, and from thence the humour arose, Tony Law, with possibly the most sensible and rationalist answer to that question, plus much more. It's just solid gold this week. I cannot believe it. And we are about to ask the question to Jim Moyer, the artist formerly known as Vic Reeves. Has he seen a Bigfoot? Let's find out.
Have you ever been in the vicinity of a Bigfoot, but not seen it, but sensed it there watching?
Now, I watch all the Bigfoot shows.
Yeah.
When there's nothing left on television, I immediately go to Nat Geo or... You know, one of those looking for the Bigfoot shows.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably just some hillbillies. Are they not?
Well,
big hairy hillbillies.
Tony Law, the only coherent thing I got out of him was that they're bears. They're just bears, and they look because they stand on the. And I saw a picture of a bear this week standing on its pine legs, and it walks around.
In Los Angeles in 1992 with Bob and the Wonder Stuff, and we went off to the Grand Canyon. We went up through Phoenix and we stopped for a piss stop.
Yep.
And it was in the middle, you know you get those big sprouts that have earth that come out, you know, like in that you get in those countries.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Yeah, okay.
You know those big things. We're right in the middle of that, and we all stopped for a slash, and there was this thing that went...
You think it was a Bigfoot?
I don't know. What was it?
They have them in Arizona.
It went like that.
Yeah.
But this was not a bear, because it was out in the middle of nowhere.
Was that baboon and jackalope?
I don't know. We called it the Grunter, and we went off to Phoenix and did drawings of it in a sports bar.
Do
mean, that's the closest we've got to a yes for that question. So I'm annoyed that I rephrased it.
Vic Reeves there. Just done a very good interview with him that's gone out as a book club, but it's more than just a book club, so do tune into that if you haven't heard it already. Him and Nancy Moyer, his lovely wife. A fantastic couple, actually. Very much in love. It's very inspiring to see after all these years together. Anyway, look, ignore that. It's time to ask another Canadian the question. Surely Catherine Ryan's seen a Bigfoot? No? Yes? Let's find out.
So you come from a place called Canada.
You know it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot while you've been in, while you've been in Canada?
No, I have seen bears.
It's not as good. I mean, it's quite good.
Yeah. I mean...
They're quite dangerous, but the bears and stuff, aren't they?
Absolutely not cuddly creatures. No. People don't know. Do you know, bears aren't all around Canada. It's amazing because England is far enough from Canada, but it's our neighbors, the Americans, who know so little about us. And the misconceptions that come from that way are crazy. I live on a border town. I live very, very near to Detroit. So the part of Canada that I'm from is like 8 miles. It's not nice. But because I'm so, so, so near, a lot of people in high school worked at the border, and people would come across from Michigan to holiday in Canada. It would be the middle of the summer, and they'd come with skis and snow. Genuinely. And the border kids would be like, where are you going? Just over there. Like, I'm going to go around there and have a glass of water. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go skiing and play in the snow with the kids. And they'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's 3 minutes away. 3 minutes away. So we don't have bears. We're a regular town.
It's quite cool they were going on holiday to Canada and just going to the bit that was just over the border as well. We're going to Canada. Not too far, though.
It's insane. You wouldn't believe how... I mean, you might believe how stupid people are.
Yeah. I do. I believe how stupid American people are. I can believe that. Because we see them on TV a lot, right? So we know.
They'd want to see the bears, and the Mounties and the Rangers would have to warn them not to do what they kept doing. Separate families. People. They would send their children out of the car where the bears were, paint their hands in honey... and try to have baby bears lick it off for a photo. They'd be like, that'll be adorable. That'll be gorgeous. And then that's fine. Like, the baby bears indeed would lick it off. And then the mother bear would arrive on the scene and eat their children.
That could be the way that Canada conquers America, though. It's just let them come over free, give them a pot of honey.
Yeah. I mean...
and just waltz in.
That's natural selection. I don't even mind when that happens.
Canadians, again, proving to be sensible, but is Miranda Hart sensible, or will she have seen a Bigfoot? I don't know. Let's listen.
And have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, just mine.
Yeah.
Does everyone say that? Yeah. Is that like the bell going off in QI?
It would be. Well, Shappy did, but no one else has. Everyone else has taken...
Shappy got big feet.
She did make the Bigfoot joke, but everyone else has taken it in the deadly earnest that it is intended.
It is. Yeah.
And I am quite offended that you have mocked my question.
Well, you laughed at my potentially dying father.
That is,
so.
What you have done is much worse.
But my feet for my height are quite petite. They're a size 8.
Yeah, yeah. Size 8?
Yeah.
I wear size 8, but I'm a little bit under.
You crazy like, fool.
My shoes are like my condoms. So just always over-exaggerate a little bit.
The brilliant Miranda Hart there, and now a Hollywood superstar who knows Tom Cruise in real life and who I'm going to waste his time with asking him if he's seen a Bigfoot. It's Simon Pegg from the Mission Impossible series, which, you know, technically they're possible, aren't they, because they always get done. So he should think about that before he answers the question.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, but I was convinced at Cub Camp in 1983 that we discovered a wood beast living in the Forest of Dean because we found what we thought was a footprint. And me and the rest of the Cubs convinced ourselves that we'd discovered a British Bigfoot living in the West Country. It turned out to be untrue.
No. Are you sure?
I'm not sure, to be honest. It might be real.
Was it very big, the foot, or was it just medium size?
It was about the size of the
child's sandal.
it was the size of our Kayla's foot, basically. but yeah, we were so immersed in this kind of role play that we discovered this. We called it the Wood Beast. that we all got really scared. But no, I've never seen a Bigfoot.
No, that's a shame. It would be brilliant if you had.
Has anyone ever said yes?
No, not yet. But, you know, it's a slow burner. And when it comes good, it's going to explode. And oh, yeah, I did, actually. I forgot. I did.
It's still working out pretty well as a question. I have to say, not too many people doing the Bigfoot pun. And, you know, and everyone manages to come up with something tangential but very interesting. Let's see what Mike Bubbins can give us here. Mike Bubbins, he's fantastic.
Did you find Bigfoot? Have you seen a Bigfoot?
No, no. But we did try to lure Bigfoot to us by call blasting, it's called. Right. When you play a sound very loudly to try and lure Bigfoot out from the woods. And pitch black in the middle of North Wales, up in the mountains.
And ever been sighted in Wales, Bigfoot?
Well, he's called the Grey King in North Wales.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, the legend of the Grey King. And Eggsy was in charge of the sound blasting, and he managed to try and coax the Grey King out of the woods by playing two tortoises having sex, which is one of the weirdest sounds ever. It just at about 200 decibels, right? And it didn't work. It was great.
Yeah, I think I've heard tortoises having sex. Now that's brought back a.
That is the noise.
Yeah. Yeah, you brought it right back.
Yeah, I wonder what that was. Okay.
Lovely Mike Bubbins, and now an absolute national treasure. What a delight it was to speak to her. It's Miriam Margolyes.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
What is that? I've seen a big cock. I've never seen a Bigfoot.
The question that actually just fallen across here is, yeah, would you like to give me oral sex? So that is the question 139.
Not now, darling.
I feel like, you know, it would be, I'd be part of a...
I don't want to give anybody oral sex anymore.
Everyone I've seen is just...
I want chicken soup with matzo balls. That's what I like.
What a national treasure Miriam Margolyes is. And you know what? I'd love to find out if Adam Buxton has ever seen a Bigfoot. I wonder if he has. If only there was some... Oh, I might have asked him, but let's find out. There's a brilliant podcast coming up with Adam probably in a few months, which we recorded recently in London. Here you go, Adam Buxton.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, you should be asking Joe this. He's an expert.
Has he seen one?
I don't know if he's seen one, but he'd love to. He's obsessed by Sasquatch. Is Sasquatch the same as Bigfoot? Or
I think it is. I wouldn't have accepted... If you'd said, I've seen a Yeti, I would not have accepted.
Oh, okay.
I'd have said, I'm not interested. If you'd started the conversation, I'd say, shut up.
Yeti?
I don't want to know about
Yeti. Where's the Yeti from?
Yeah, he's from, the Himalayas and stuff.
Ah.
Not interested in that.
Snow guy.
If you could be going, I've got an amazing story about a Yeti that I saw and spent some time with, I'd go, not interested.
Do you remember the Sasquatch...
I'm not interested in the Sasquatch
episode
Bigfoot.
Sorry. I was just interjecting some bollocks into your bollocks. Do you remember the... that's a good medical procedure. What we are doing here is interjecting bollocks into this man's bollocks. Do you remember the $6 million man with Lee Majors?
Yes, of course.
Of course. Do you remember the Sasquatch episode? Two-parter.
Don't remember it.
Yeah, man, there was a big fucking Sasquatch, and it was obviously a big, not Richard Keel, I don't think, right, who was the big go-to guy for giantific roles.
Yes,
the humanoid he was in, great film. But it was he was jumping around, and at first he was a bit like in Jaws in the Bond film, starts out being a baddie, but actually in Moonraker they end up sort of bonding.
Yeah.
This is a terrible tangent. This is why you should edit your podcast.
No. This is why you never edit the podcast.
The whole $6 million man.
No, this is the best bit. One person out there loves this. They're not in the room, let's face it, but somewhere in the world. And that's what I'm aiming for, one person enjoying something
they're
more than
they're
probably
on life support. But almost certainly it's on YouTube. And I remember it made a big impression on me. And there's it gets all weird and strange. So, you know, like how sometimes your favourite Saturday evening shows would get very, very high concept.
Yeah.
And there'd be a bit of magic realism in there or something. And things would go, like suddenly Mork would turn up on Happy Days or whatever. and your world would be turned upside down. Ha ha. Sorry.
Oh, I love Adam Buxton, and what a wonderful load of bollocks into bollocks. You can't actually put someone else's bollocks into your scrotum because your bollock will continue making your sperm in their scrotum, and that's an ethical nightmare. So that's something I've learned since that interview, which happened a long time ago. And Adam asked me to ask Joe Cornish about it, and just 400 short episodes later, having forgotten entirely about that original conversation, I did ask Joe Cornish that exact question. Let's see what he had to say.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, but no. You know I'm obsessed with Bigfoot.
Yeah, are you?
Yeah, I genuinely love Bigfoot. And I've met someone who knew someone who saw it. Well, listen, in the world of Bigfoot, that is impressive.
That is pretty good.
Because he's very
Is it Brian Blessed?
It's very hard to get in touch with. Now, don't start being silly about Bigfoot. It's a very serious subject.
It's one of my questions I ask everyone, and usually people say no.
I know, and I've been waiting for you to ask it to me for years.
So you've seen...
And I'm so happy we've got onto it so early in the session. You thought omelettes was bad. What about Bigfoot eating an omelette?
Would he eat an omelette? Who knows?
No, he'd fucking murder the chef. Is what he'd do. My Bigfoot is very, very violent and primeval. But this guy, when me and Adam did Glastonbury for the BBC, for Six Music, we met, there was a Canadian technician and we were driving, it's frightening, I heard someone whimper because this is gonna get scary.
That doesn't count as a Bigfoot, just a Canadian technician.
No, she's
technician.
Afraid of Bigfoot.
We met
she's
a Canadian technician, right. That's as close as we've got to a Bigfoot.
So we're driving back from Glastonbury and the conversation turns to Bigfoot, as it does when you're driving in a car with me. And he says, I can't do a Canadian accent, but he says, my mother saw Bigfoot. I was like, what? Oh, my God, tell me. But, of course, it was just a blurry, hunched figure across a field. But even that gave me a frisson of excitement.
Where would all the bones... But there must be, like, Bigfoot bones around.
Well, there's arguments against this. Okay. Sophistry.
Yeah.
Sophistry. Because there's lots of wild animals that die in the wild and you can't find their bones.
You find some of their bones, though.
No, none of them. No, you don't. There are arguments in books, Osborne books. There's arguments in Osborne books against this.
It could be like elephants all go off to die in one specific place, then the big feet. Is that the right... What is the Bigfoots or the big feet? They might all go to the same cave that hasn't yet been discovered to die.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying that's why we might not get there, but if they all go to a special place to die, then their bones will be...
Like an
away.
Elephant graveyard.
Yeah, that's what
no,
I'm
talking. Bigfoots are very... They're loners.
Yeah.
They're savage loners.
How do they breed?
By having sex with other big feet. It's not pleasant, okay. You know. If you know how cats breed, do you know how cats breed?
Well, I've heard them.
Want to know, basically. Yeah. So cats are a cute domestic animal. Now imagine how Bigfoot breeds.
Yeah.
You don't really want to talk about that on a late night podcast.
I'd want to talk about nothing else.
Well, Joe Cornish there. And it was worth waiting 400 episodes for that. I think we can all agree. Now it's time to talk to impressionist and singer and brilliant actor... Jess Robinson.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
My boyfriend's got a Bigfoot.
No, that doesn't.
No, but he has, and he's got terrible fungus on one of his toenails. Yeah, he's got to take pills for it. Is that bad?
Wow.
I know.
My wife doesn't like me picking my feet. I find that weird.
Can bite my own toenails.
Can you? I used to be able to do that.
Mm.
Then I got old. Do you bite your own toenails?
Sometimes.
Do you eat your toenails?
No, spit them out.
Can I have them?
Sure. Make you a little bracelet if you like.
Sweet, be nice.
That's how I flirt with women. I ask them if I can eat their toenails, and so far, it's worked out pretty well. Maybe I'm going down the wrong avenue there. Now, coming up, someone I met online, I have never met them in real life. I consider him to be a friend, in spite of not having spoken to him again since this conversation. But I had a lovely chat with him during lockdown, and also made him do loads of cameos for me as a sort of running joke. Well, he got paid, so, you know, it was all right. When he came to England, though, he didn't look me up and say, let's go out for a drink. So, you know, he's my friend, but I don't think I'm his friend. But anyway, it's the wonderful Michael Ian Black. And this is a backstage interview from a Zoom call. So it must have been something we did before we broadcast. Oh, well, this is a good question because you live in the woods. And this hut, nobody, I've had one person who might have seen this. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No, but the woods where I live in the north of the United States are not known for our big feet. We're known for deer, raccoons.
How big are the feet of the deer?
Tiny.
They're all regular sized feet.
Yeah, they're just delicate little feet that tromp around on the woods. I've seen a bear.
That's good. That could be a Bigfoot.
Bears have quite big feet. So, yeah. So I saw a bear. So, yes is the answer. Yes.
Yeah, basically, yes. I mean, you've seen a bear, which is more, and in like, not in a zoo. That's more than I've done. So that's the close. You're the closest to seeing a Bigfoot.
What do you have where you are? Grouse? Nothing but.
We have deer as well. We have Mount Jack little deer up here. We've got squirrels. Mm-hmm. We've got weasels. Mm-hmm. There's a hare. I saw a hare on my dog walk today. That's quite unusual. Lots of rabbits. Nothing very interesting, I have to say. No ghosts, no Bigfeet.
Get in touch, Michael. I miss you, mate. Michael Ian Black there. He's a lovely guy. We have a lot in common, I think. I feel like I'm the English him or he's the American me, one way or the other. Look, we have to ask this question to one of the greatest experiences of my life, one of the most amazing pieces of theatre I've ever been involved in. Very peripherally involved in, I have to say. I asked Brian Blessed if he'd ever seen a Bigfoot. And here is what happened next.
I have one question I ask a lot of guests.
What's that?
I think if this question may finally be about to pay off. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot, Brian Blessed?
Well, I can answer that question.
Yes.
I'll be very serious now because I can see with this audience I can be wonderfully serious and full of gravitas. What was the question?
Have you or a Yeti or a Bigfoot or a Yeti?
Now look, ladies and gentlemen, a third of Canada has only been surveyed by helicopter. A lot of the lost world in South America is completely unknown. So in Canada, it's Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and then you move across from Canada into Asia, and it's the Almas Giant. The Russians have records of the Almas Giant, 7, 8, 9 feet tall. You move across Asia, it becomes the Metoma, and it becomes the Yeti, and then you move down to Sumatra, and it's Orang Pendek, upright man. And there is a BBC camera crew down there at this moment. They've been there for 10 years, taking photographs, because they are besotted with it. But you see, I don't need that in the fact that I look in the mirror as the, I fucking adore the way I look. I mean, people like Branner and Anthony Scher and Derek Jacobi and McKellen and all of them, they're shite compared to me. I fucking look. I have never met a man with such sexual drive when I look in the mirror of such fucking amazing talent. I'm fucking unrivaled. So I look in the mirror and I thought, that is a fucking lovely Yeti. I love my face. I love it that I look like a gorilla. And so, now, hold on a minute. To answer your question, I have. It's in my book, but over the years, I've worked with gorillas. And they love me. And I wrestled a gorilla in Canterbury many, many years ago. Many, many, but bear with me, I'll be with you in a second. A few years ago in Canterbury, I wrestled Gurgis. He was 6'3", a big, lovely gorilla. I used to wrestle him. I was very glad in the last King Kong film, but one, the blonde girl doing somersaults and King Kong laughing, because gorillas laugh. And when I used to wrestle Gurdjieff, I used to grab his bollocks. Absolutely true. And it made him helpless. Anyway, what I want to say is this, because I'm fed up with all this sex stuff. I've had females come on at me. Now, these working with female gorillas that I did in Canterbury and at Chessington at the time, there's about six of them. I sat with the gorillas because they love me, and they're very passive, the females, but they are dirty fuckers. And they empty your pockets. You must empty your... going there, they empty your pockets. They'll empty your pockets. They're very quick. And they're very passive, and then gradually their hands start to move towards your flies. And they start to unzip. And it's a universal language. And then it'll knock on the nose. And then their hands come out again, and they start heading for your cock again. And you stop them like that, because they are absolutely oversexed. Now, you're thinking it with me.
Only with you, or with you?
But the thing is, and I please, I'm talking. Yes. I can't get a fucking word in edgeway. Interviewing me out of my fucking skull. So anyway, I'm with a gorilla. Now the thing is, I put an apology in one of my chapters in my book, and I apologise to the male gorilla because I mean they're all about 35 stone with immense shoulders and huge, but their cocks are that big. They're like little lipsticks. Now, I mean, Jeff and Boris mentioned this. The human penis, sorry, girls, the men usually, they're about that long or that long. I have no one that long. And they do get some fucking jaffers. There are some fucking huge fucking penises. So the human male, in spite of his great brain he's got, I mean, he dangles down there. They've got, human beings, males, they have pretty big dongs. So anyway...
Speak for yourself.
I'll just scratch for a moment. So I would say that, therefore, I don't understand why the gorillas are that big, and you can understand why the females adore me, can't you? And... That's my point. Does that answer?
It's good. It's
does
good.
That answer your question?
I'm not sure.
I presume that the male gorillas have a fucking fantastic sperm count.
I think it's to do with gorillas are very faithful, so the testicle size and penis size is smaller. It's something to do with that, whereas I think human beings are... I did write a book about penises.
Did you?
Yeah, I can't quite remember what it is. I think that's right. I think gorillas are more faithful, so their genitals can be smaller. It's something like that, but I think it's about balls rather than penis size. But
fuck, we'll see. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like they are from your experience.
Anyway, I don't know. But anyway, certainly the Yeti does exist. I'm quite convinced. I'm quite convinced.
And finally, another great experience for me that Rahela Sipa has managed to make happen was getting to interview Michael Palin. The week before we all locked down, or a couple of weeks maybe, we locked down a bit early with Rahela Sipa and realising we shouldn't be in live theatres anymore. So the last one we did before lockdown was Michael Palin, Aislinn B. We do backstage interviews at the Leicester Square Theatre, and you can get those if you join Acast Plus or become a badger. I think you can still get them if you're a monthly badger, so... Google Acast plus Rahela Sipa, and or go to gofastaustralia.com/badges. There's lots of lovely extras you can get, including, I mean, with Michael Palin, aside from this, I asked him about King Herod, and which hadn't turned up in Life of Brian, and he improvised a whole scene involving King Herod backstage that no one has seen unless you're a badger, which is a very few small number of people. So it might be worth joining Acast Plus, getting involved in that. But in any case, I asked him, has he ever seen a Bigfoot on his many, many travels? Let's see what he had to say.
Well, you've travelled the whole world. This is a good question for you. Only one of my guests so far has answered this in the affirmative, and he forgot that he had. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot on all your travels, or a Yeti or a Sasquatch on all your travels around the world?
No. No, I'm
do
sorry.
Think it might, do you think
I, what a shame.
Brian Blessed had seen one.
Yeah, well, he said he had. He'd just seen some hiker with very large feet.
Maybe, or just he might have seen a mirror.
Got there before him. And Brian Blessed, Brian Blessed lives in a wonderful world.
Yes.
A Brian Blessed world, doesn't he? Which I absolutely love. I see Brian, he says, my car! What are you? I think, what's going on in there? He's just saying hello.
Yeah. He's great. He's an amazing man, and he's still going.
He did I did an oldie lecture with him or something like that, and we all stood up and did our little 10 minutes at the mic, and the mic was brought round to us and set on the table, and it came, and now Brian Blessed is going to talk to us. And Brian just ignored the mic completely and just started to talk, and he wandered around the table and he got hold of this man's head. Man with a rather bald head.
Yeah.
And he just held onto his head and he was telling stories about the show business and all that, just rubbing the top of this man's bald head like he had caressing some cat or something like that. Yeah. It was just quite brilliant.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that man's obviously had a nervous breakdown straight out. Never gone to another only lunch, but it was lovely to see.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing on this podcast, and it was.
Yeah.
It never ended. He came in talking, and he left talking, and I don't think I said a word.
Yes, he's talking somewhere even now. There'll be someone trying to stop him talking.
I'm sure he is. Well, a wonderful Brian Blessed anecdote to end. What has been? Let's face it. When you heard it was going to be this question, you thought this isn't going to be very good this week. You probably turned off and didn't hear any of it. But you were wrong to do that, you fool. You should have listened to the whole thing and then you would have heard me saying this and calling you a fool. But very entertaining and only slightly repetitive, well, mainly on my part. And we'll be back with more emergency questions compilations very soon. Thank you to Ben Evans, who works very hard on putting these together and listening through all of the shows to find out what people said. Thank you to Catherine McKeegan, who runs rahulaspa.com, which makes Ben Evans's job a lot easier. And it's also a very interesting resource if you are a fan of this podcast. Thank you to Catherine for her hard work on that. Thank you to Chris Evans, of course, not that one. Thank you to all of my guests for indulging me with my absolute fucking stupidity. I'm absolutely embarrassed to have wasted so much time of so many important people, but I hope you'll agree that occasionally it produces something magical and transcends our humdrum lives and takes us to a place of happiness before our inevitable deaths. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time. Do tell your friends about Rahul Astapar. Do keep listening. Join Acast Plus or become a badger if that's your bag. Come and see me on tour, richardharry.com. All right, see you later, guys. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.